If you think you need food to live, our guest has a contrasting message for you. Stay tuned and see what he has to say on this edition of Frank Relationships.
You're listening to Frank Relationships with Frank Love.
Frank Love.
Frank Love.
Frank Love.
Frank Love.
Yes, as always, those are my babies. Thanks for getting daddy started. Mwah! Breatharian Elatom Elamine is with us today, and I'm curious, is a healthy life without food even possible?
Oh, yes, it is. Actually, it's one of the best manifestations of spirit that I could see a person manifest in this realm. To go on this journey to clean yourself out, to clean your cells, to go on deeper levels, to clean the negativity within the mind is so powerful that once you begin this journey, it's like a jack-in-the-box. Even when you want to turn backwards and put it down, it'll just keep coming up inside of you, coming up inside of you to continue on the journey.
Are you saying a lifestyle of fasting is a good thing, or is it something else? I mean, I have no idea what you just said to me.
Okay. Now, fasting, there is scientific proof that living a life with fasting within the lifestyle is a healthier lifestyle than eating three meals a day or eating constantly. So that is proof right there. But living on prana or being a breatharian is not fasting at all, because what's taking place is a reprogramming of the cells and body. Mm-hmm. See, they even tell you in psychology, most of your decisions come from your subconsciousness. But where's your subconsciousness? You got the conscious of these words really mess people up. You got to keep in mind that your body, your physical body, is an extension of your mind. Mm-hmm. All of your life experiences and your education and everything else actually went into the cells of the body. And the way you were educated, your life experiences, the family you came into, and everything else actually set up a program, just like download the program in a computer, and that's what's actually dictating your reality. So when you go into being a breatharian, there's a process taking place where you're actually downloading a new program with inside you. It's a process, and the more and more you get into this process, the stronger and stronger the body becomes. It takes on this new process, and then it creates a new reality. This is a science.
There have actually, I've read about some studies that support what you're saying. Please, but I'm not comfortable just saying some studies say this.
Yes.
I mean, share some details.
Okay, now I should tell you details. True life experiences.
All right, I'm listening.
To show you how this works, because you're actually retraining a body and retraining a mind.
Mm-hmm.
And once you retrain it to go a certain direction, it will carry it out if you stick with it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, years ago, I started fasting once a week to put that into my lifestyle, doing a 24-hour fast.
Why?
And I did this for health purposes and also for religious purposes at the time. I was with the Hebrew Israelites. They fasted once a week on a Sabbath. So all of that went along with the program. We were also vegan.
Mm-hmm.
So going into this, going into a 24-hour fast, at first it was real hard. Me and a friend of mine, we couldn't wait till the fast was over. It even got to the point we'll be waiting outside the restaurant for the time to be up.
Uh-huh.
But one day over a period of time, it didn't take long because the body's like a rubber band. Once it catch on that new habit, that new program, it'll carry it out.
Mm-hmm.
So one day we're sitting outside the restaurant. We're in this good conversation. 2 hours later, we forgot that the fast was over.
Mm-hmm.
So from that time period forward, the fast was now easy. It was now integrated within our lifestyle. The body was conditioned to pick up a new program to where it was nothing to fast for 24 hours with no food or no water. The body became so strong that even on a Saturday going on a fast, I'll be mowing the yard.
Mm-hmm.
That's how the body mm-hmm. picked up the new program. But what made this different from fasting to going to breatharianism, once I learned the different meditations and how to reprogram the body, you're actually talking to it. Because there's a many great writings. One woman put out, watch what you think or watch what you say, the body's listening. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So you're putting in this new program in the body, basically, to tell the body to get all its minerals, vitamins, and nutrients from other sources. Now, mind you, not only I'm a vegan at the time, got this fast going once a week, now I'm in the energy work and meditation. All of this is incorporated together, and this is what I teach, because just through meditation, you are actually feeling the energy flow. A lot of people don't even know they're living in a system of energy. Mm-hmm. Energy is all around you. So when you learn chakra meditations, bringing this energy into the body, you even will find your hunger ceases. You'll have more energy. You'll sleep less. Mm-hmm. Right there are indications that the body is receiving more energy from the atmospheric forces.
You mean like with maybe Tai Chi and Qigong and stuff
Absolutely.
Like that? That's what's happening?
Yes, because Tai Chi is basically a meditation of movement, and yoga is actually a meditation of stillness. Mm. So whatever fits you, you know, there's many different types of meditations, you know, due to where you're at the time in life, what fits you, each and every one of them will work. Spiritual practices will work when you stay with them and stay dedicated. Mm. And this will get the body jump-started to bring more energy within the body, because it's all about energy.
Welcome to Frank Relationships, a show for you, my brethren, who, like me, are too young to be considered old and too old to be considered young. It's also for those of you who love and support us. We're here to provide weekly wisdom, conversation, and the information that'll help create loving and flexible parents and partners. I'm Frank Love, and you can find me, my blog, and my various social media incarnations at franklove.com. If you're listening to the show on Blog Talk Radio, please follow us, and via iTunes, please subscribe so that you can effortlessly get the show each week. Also, if you're enjoying the show, and of course you are, please give us a favorable iTunes rating, and please share it with your family and friends on your favorite social media platform. We're always looking for new social media friends, so please help us help our communities by spreading the word about the show. Greetings to my super-duper co-host, Nancy Goldring.
Hi, Frank.
Hello, how are you?
I'm great, and you?
I'm great.
Excellent.
We've got a fascinating guest today. He's a holistic practitioner, researcher, lecturer, and author of the book, It's Okay to Be Healthy. He's also the author of the forthcoming Human Photosynthesis 101. That's another book. He studied light synthesis and the atomic changes in nature that sustain the human body for health and well-being for over a decade. He's also demystified the human photosynthesis process of living on light. That's right. Not food and not water, but living on light. So if you, like me, want to know if I'm joking about whether we're actually investigating the possibility of living on light, if there's research to support it, and why in the world anyone would want to do it, then stay tuned as your Frank Relationship team talks about breatharianism with Elitam Elamin. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Before we get too deep in today's subject matter, we're going to check in to see what's going on in the news. And Elitam, I don't want you to be bashful. I want you to weigh in on your thoughts too. And to kick it off, did you know that there were people in the world, this is a fetish conversation.
Hmm.
There are people in the world that want to buy and wear your used underwear.
And wear them?
And I think wear, yes. And I'm not saying where they want to wear them. They may want to wear them on their head.
Oh, so, okay. All right. How used are we talking?
I saw an article where this person wore the underwear, the same drawers, for 3 weeks.
Oh, my God. Sotheby's style. 3 weeks?
Yeah.
Who would even wear their underwear for 3 weeks, Frank?
I guess if you can sell them to somebody who wanted to purchase them for a healthy sum.
A healthy sum? How healthy are we talking?
I don't know.
Oh, my
goodness. I don't know what a healthy sum is, but you're buying someone's.
Just the idea. It's like, oh, my gosh. Well, fetishes. You got any, Frank?
I don't think I do. You know, people who have fetishes may not consider them fetishes.
Fetishes. This is true. This is true. No foot fetish. We know you got a flower fetish. He likes flowers.
That's not a fetish.
Oh,
that's
I know. But okay. All right. So, wow. Wow. Oh, and I think in this particular case, it turns out there's plenty of opportunities out there to buy.
Wow.
These worn
I don't know. Jeff.
aside from the obvious, and I won't be sorry.
Why not?
What's wrong with that? Nobody's getting hurt.
Hey.
You know what I mean?
I am with you.
There are a lot of worse fetishes in the world.
Yeah.
You know?
Wow.
So, hey.
True.
Do your thing.
I agree.
Do your thing.
Just don't sit next to me with funky, you know.
And
I don't know that funky is the word. It's a distinct aroma.
But I think that if I came to the studio with 3-week-old underwear that somebody else wore on my head, I think you'd have a problem with that.
Oh. Yeah.
I would.
Okay. All right.
But do your thing. You're not hurting anybody.
We'd have to endure for a little while. But nobody's getting hurt.
Oh, my goodness. Ellie, Tom, any fetishes? Some would consider breatharianism a fetish of some kind, a fanaticism.
I'm still thinking about how much this is going to cost for the underwear to sell them.
Mm. Yeah, gosh.
What are some fetishes? Like, what can you...
I only know about foot fetish, shoe fetish.
Looks at me like I had a whole list.
Well, because he said there are worse. I'm like, come on, Jeff, what else you got? I mean, those are the ones you hear about.
Mm-hmm.
Private school girl outfits, nurses outfits. These are fetishes.
Yeah,
black underwear.
What do
you call it?
You
know,
or the maid.
The French maid thing.
Like the one you have on right now?
I do not have
leather.
How dare you?
I guess not
have on a French maid outfit.
S&M bondage type stuff.
I saw a killer picture. Oh my goodness. Of this woman. She was dressed completely in black leather. She had these incredible boots on that laced up the front all the way, like past into her, up to her thigh.
I hear you admiring those leather boots.
The whole outfit, and I'm totally not a bondage person, but the outfit was...
Was her name Hillary? I think I saw that picture.
I didn't catch the name. The picture was so compelling. I'm wondering now if I even saved it. It was beautiful.
I'm sure if you
stunning.
Go home and you could just take the picture again.
Ellie Tom, he is reaching today, let me tell you.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Save him from himself. Oh, my goodness.
Okay. All right.
Here she is. Oh, I'm sorry, Frank. She wasn't dressed. It was just the boots that got my attention.
Ooh.
Ooh. All right. Ooh.
Now, how are you going to guide our listeners to find that picture? What do they need to do?
Good question. Mm. I hate to post it on my Facebook page because I got it on a... there was this Facebook page that was dealing with Tantra, and I was looking for something, though, in particular. And this foreign site came up. The language was mostly, I think, Spanish.
Okay.
And I just kept scrolling, looking for something that gave me the impression that they dealt with an English-speaking audience, and there was virtually nothing. But some of the images were just, you know.
Okay.
Spellbinding.
Got it.
Like that one.
Mm-hmm. All right. And
so that's all.
The spell has been cast.
Indeed.
Nancy's walking around with the picture in her
in my phone. Yes, I'm like, wow.
All right. Issue number 2. After 17 years, a woman's husband let her take 1 year off of their marriage. That's
That's strong.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
I'm all for, hey, do your thing. Do what's flexible. Do what works for you guys. What do you think, Jeff? I mean,
it's quite a hall pass.
Yeah.
It's a huge hall pass.
But who's the hall pass for? Is it for him or her?
Both.
Yeah. Well, if she got the year, if she got the year off, then the pass is for both of them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, but it's a dicey game to play.
If she's going to offer it up or allow it, then it's for both of them.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I knew a couple. I was actually a kid. I was in high school where they did get divorced, but they couldn't live without one another.
Mm-hmm.
So they would like, the dude would come over for dinner.
Mm-hmm.
I think they had a kid together as well. And he'd do homework and with the youngster, and he'd go home to his house. Mm-hmm. And 3-4 nights a week, they would be a couple and have that kind of a relationship, but they just couldn't live with one another.
Yeah, yeah.
But couldn't live without him. I mean, it's human nature, man.
You do what works.
Yeah, exactly.
I admire people who are willing to experiment with stuff like that. I mean, because so many of us think if a certain framework doesn't work, then we got to be apart. And don't play with the middle at all. Okay, what if we have different places? What if we just see each other 3 days a week? What if we share different rooms? There's so many different variables that can be interjected or even removed to create something that's sustainable, particularly when you care about each other. It's fascinating to hear stories of where that has occurred.
Okay, so I want to mention a couple of things to you.
I'm listening.
One is called, there's a phenomenon out there called LAT couples.
L-A-T. T, okay.
So a LAT couple, LAT stands for living apart together.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
So, so there are people who get together, especially mature couples. He has his established home, she has hers. And
mature couples.
Meaning typically probably...
60?
No. Younger.
Okay.
Let's say over 35, right? So you're established in your respective careers, you have your own homes, and the idea of pooling these two fully established lives in one house seems a little overwhelming. So then what you have is this situation, not unlike you mentioned, where she comes over to his place. Maybe they spend a few days at her place. Maybe they spend a few days at his place. And yet they never fully dissolve their
separate individual
residences. So that's one thing. And I believe, I can't think of the name of the book now, but there was a study done that said that that phenomenon had already reached the 1% mark in American civilization, right? Mm-hmm. So that is not something that isn't out there. Mm-hmm. It isn't happening.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing that I want to say is that in this particular situation with the woman who gets a year pass from her husband, one of the things that happens, which is why I say it can be such a dicey thing, is that in that year that you spend apart doing whatever you decide you want to do, you invariably grow as people, and you have experiences that when the hall passes up and you go back to being whoever you were,
right.
You know, Joe's wife or, you know, Susie's husband.
Presumably, that's how you define yourself. Yeah.
You're not that person anymore. Even if you don't define yourself per se as that person's husband or wife solely, which nobody does, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're still not the same person anymore. And so it's not as easy to transition back once you're... What does Einstein say? Once the mind's been open to I don't even know if it's Einstein who says it. He says that you can't solve a problem at the level of consciousness at which you created it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay. Right. So on some level, if this is a short-term solution, your consciousness has now changed, which means that everything is different now. Mm-hmm. Your worldview mm-hmm. has changed. Mm-hmm. And that becomes the problem with opening a marriage.
Did you read this article?
I did.
What happened?
That's what happened. She goes off for a year. She rents an apartment. She goes off and she takes, I think, a dozen lovers in a year. Mm-hmm. And her husband met one woman. Well, at least he was primarily involved with one woman. Mm-hmm. A couple of her lovers were younger. Her husband's lover was younger, which she said didn't bother her. And two of her lovers were women. Mm-hmm. So she goes back. And the other thing is, how it worked was she was on her own Monday through Friday. Friday night, she spent the weekend with her husband.
So over the course of that year.
Over the course of that year. So mm-hmm. it wasn't like they were 100% apart for that year. Uh-huh. So, however, when she goes back, when the year is up and she goes back to live with her husband after that, she finds that it isn't what it was. It isn't as easy as it was. Mm-hmm. And they are not the same people that they were, even though they still love each other, care for each other. Things are just different. Mm-hmm. So the agreement was that they not, you know, which is typically the agreement, just don't go run off and fall in love with somebody. Mm-hmm. So she and her husband decide to separate. Mm-hmm. And they do. They divorce. They divorce amicably, but they do divorce. And one of the men who she had a liaison with contacts her, like, you know, kind of randomly months later. And she said of all the men that she had involved her, or should I say people that she had been involved with, her relationship with him was the most satisfying. He mm-hmm. was the most provocative for her. And so she's married to him now. Mm. They've been married for 5 years. So I thought, wow, this is such a heavy thing. You know, people decide that they want to do something different, try something new. And it's the minute, it's funny because Master Yao talks about this. He's someone that we've had on the show. We've sponsored the show. He talks about how the minute sex comes into an equation, it changes you and it changes everything irrevocably. Mm-hmm. But when I say sex, sex is happening everywhere. It's happening in nature. It's happening amongst men and women. It's a union of new energies. Mm-hmm. And what's old is done. Mm. So that's the opportunity and the risk in doing something like that.
When you say it's heavy, it's interesting because in the concept of heaviness, I feel like there's some right and wrong in there, and I'm not saying you're saying that.
Definitely am not saying that it's right and wrong. I'm saying it in terms of the what's possible, what can come out of it is rarely aligned with our expectations.
Mm-hmm.
And
interesting.
Where these things can go is so radically outside of what we anticipated mm-hmm. that how it comes back around for me is like when I say heavy, it's like, wow, mm-hmm.
gotcha.
Where you know, like out of left field mm-hmm. kind of thing.
Ella Tom, what do you think about any of this? Interestingly enough, this is the longest I have ever heard Nancy talk on the show without me saying a word. Like you were in a zone just a minute ago.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm back. I didn't realize I was in a zone.
You were doing your thing. I was just saying, mm-hmm, okay, yeah. You took over. That is great. It was great. Okay, what do you have to add to this?
Oh, I saw this happen many times and all the times. every time there's an energy change, you're away from your partner and you come back, mm-hmm. there's going to be some type of change that took place, and then you're going to have to reevaluate where you're going to go from there.
Mm-hmm.
Not just sexually, even food-wise or lifestyle change.
Mm-hmm.
I see it happen all the time. You either got to make a choice to go back and try to go back in that old energy, but there's times a person want to move forward, the spouse don't want to, and I see many breakups take place. Mm-hmm. But sex is real powerful, like Nancy was saying.
So on to the breatharianism component, what are you suggesting? Are you saying don't eat food? Are you saying eat fast once a week? What is breatharianism?
Well, a lot of breatharians will tell you it's not about eating food or not, but it is about breaking that old reality belief system that you know it exists. See, a breatharian, on one level, all of us are breatharians because you have involuntary processes and voluntary processes. One involuntary process is breathing. You'll die without breathing before you would eating or drinking. See, eating and drinking is a voluntary thought process. That was about what you're eating, how much you eat, and what time you're eating. See, it's disturbing when I look at the future, and they were showing the future health of America, how 3 out of 5 Americans are going to have diabetes and this and that. And it's all dealing with food. And it's amazing. You think you'll, in the future you'll be getting more educated on how to deal with food. But see, like, food is going to be doing more harm to the average American, even though we're in the breadbasket of the world, that tells you it's the greatest addiction that's taking place right there.
The food.
Even though you got to get your health together, you got preventable diseases, which mean it could have been prevented, it seemed like the people cannot stop it.
Right.
This is really serious. So when the teachings like what I come in with, no, I'm not trying to take you to the far limits and say you'll never need to eat again. But it needs to be regulated to the fullness with a discipline in your life. You need to understand that involuntary action of the breath is the one that's actually keeping you alive. Everything else is an illusion.
Okay, so I know in just talking about the show before today, everybody gave me the, you must be crazy, you're out of your mind, there you go again, right? So now I know that in the scheme of things, so like you said, breath is voluntary. However, in terms of importance to the body, mm-hmm. so theoretically at least, we can go 3 weeks without eating food. We can go, 3 days without drinking water, at least in the system that people are currently accustomed to, 3 days without drinking water, but only 3 minutes without air.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that does suggest that air is more important. You're saying we can live on the air. Any kind of air do we need to be? And so is this something that a person living in an urban environment had better stay away from? Because the air quality can often
absolutely
suck.
Because people are saving them when you go without eating food, well, you'll still use the bathroom. Depending on the air quality, your liver will still pick up pollution and will get rid of it.
Really?
Absolutely.
Okay. So Ellie Tom, what is human photosynthesis?
Well, photosynthesis, first of all, photo means light, and synthesis means combining or putting together.
Okay.
What a plant practices human photosynthesis is grabbing different components, putting it together to create the food it needs. And it gives off oxygen so we can breathe. And we give off carbon monoxide so it can breathe. We're doing a reverse photosynthesis from a plant. It's more than just the breath. What you're breathing in is you're taking in energy and converting it into mechanical energy and chemical energy.
Okay. So
all your actions is chemical.
Okay. Now, you do this. And we're certainly not advocating that people try this at home without proper instruction. This is not fasting, as you say.
Yes.
And it is a radical lifestyle change. It is a game changer. It would be a game changer in any relationship. So mm-hmm. I can remember when I first transitioned from eating meat to being not just vegan, raw vegan the first time, right?
Yeah.
And so we used to go and get these cleanses. And so there was a woman who came in one evening when I was getting ready to finish, and she was talking about preparing meals for her family, even though she's in an extended long-term fast. And we understand 100% that being breatharian is in no way fasting, but we're talking about making a radical life change and how it can affect your relationships, okay? Mm-hmm. So she's cooking meals. She's, you know, frying chicken, mashing potatoes, all of this. And she's fasting. I mean, for like 30, 40 days fasting.
Yes.
In that moment, as I listened to her, I was like, oh, thank God I live alone. I didn't have those challenges. So, you know what I mean? I mean, all I had to worry about was myself. So when, now you were, you've been married, you have children, mm-hmm. You've got a family. How does making a change like this, or how has making a change like this affected your relationships?
Oh, I got a few good ones for you. Now, dealing with the food and the woman fasting, because I've seen this happen many times where a person's still cooking for their family, but they made a diet change, and that could be very hard, too.
Okay.
I remember when I started going to breatharianism, I was teaching live and raw food shows. And I said, I still could do it. I don't need to taste the food. So after one of these shows, everybody's telling me how good this dish was, and I take it home to put it in my refrigerator, and I said, I'll get rid of it tomorrow. But in the back of my mind, it was like, man, they said that food was good and you didn't taste it. So I find myself sneaking in the refrigerator and I'm living all by myself to the refrigerator. I am a breatharian, but yet and still I'm tasting it and it couldn't stop. Mm-hmm. So that was a challenge right there, being around food in the beginning stages. And you're trying to become a breatharian. Now, mind you, I was living alone at the time. Being with a family, I know many breatharians have got families and they still do a thing called conscious eating. That's where you could, because food, all of our social gatherings is around food. It's sort of like sacred, especially when you got children and stuff like that. So there was even a time period myself where I ate once a week to share with my son. I know I can't get these times back. Mm-hmm. He really appreciated it. Now, since he's a lot older, he accepted my lifestyle. Me and him could go out, and it doesn't matter about me tasting with them or not.
Okay.
But children, they looking at it differently.
Sure.
Now, dealing with spouses, after I got a separation, I went through my 30s, doing different dates here and there, and it always got disrupted because, you know, met one woman, she loved to cook. Everybody loved her cooking. Oh, could you please taste it this time? You know, you go through that, and you understand that this is not going to work out. Mm-hmm. Person want to go out to eat, buy popcorn and stuff like that. So, but there is people out there, too. If you're going to meet people on these levels, it's just me talking. I will meet, prefer a person that's on a higher level diet change and also at least breatharian also. It's a whole lot easier.
Because
I find out
community,
when I deal with people like that, where our mind is on the same mindset.
Okay. But isn't a community of breatharians, all right, if you're just talking about dating, it's not like you can, it's not like you've got a friend who's got a friend who's breatharian.
Right.
There's not, and I had not noticed a breatharianonly.com dating website.
Maybe there's a Facebook group.
Maybe there's a right. Oh, there's definitely a Facebook group.
Okay.
Now, yes. Keep in mind that breatharianism, the first Pranic Festival in the USA was in 2015 of August in San Francisco. The first one.
Okay.
This knowledge has been around. In Europe, they got the most breatharian retreats. You got one in Germany. You got one in Italy. You got one in Australia. And this has been going on for a very long time.
Why is it so big in Europe?
Well, they had the knowledge. And to bring it here in the West, they used to give credit to Jasmine because she brought it out in her books, Living on Light, and that's how the knowledge came to the West. But to actually get it here to the average person will know that knowledge, that has been excluded. Nobody brought it, or the media didn't cherish it, but the other places is all over the place.
Wow.
Now, when you ask people, they said, oh, he's crazy. Now, always keep in mind that I went through that when I first brought it into Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
The first years, he's crazy, you're laughed at. Over a period of time, people get angry at you. And then, last but not least,
what's the anger
knowledge
about?
Is accepted. Right now, I'm not messed with by nobody.
Well, what's the anger about?
And the anger, I pick it up like this. First, it came from a lot of different groups from leadership. I don't know if they feel you think you're better than them. Who are you to act like? There's this sense of you broke everybody's reality, so anger comes up. Mm-hmm. It's no longer laughed at. And especially when my books started getting out there, I started traveling. People wanted to listen to me more. The people in my circles seeing that you succeeded.
Okay.
Well, I can tell you, just on a microcosmic level, I had a very interesting experience this weekend. Now, it was 19 years ago that I first experimented with being vegan. Mm-hmm. When I came home, I was pencil thin. Everybody was like, oh my God, you're too thin, da 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 da. No problem. So, and as he says, there's this challenge because you're essentially saying that this thing, you were raised this way, we've always eaten this way, you know, you're challenging mm-hmm. what is fundamental for people. Mm-hmm. So then all of a sudden I started getting questions around, see, because I'm thin, but I don't look sick.
Right.
And so then you're getting
you're
questions,
thin,
meaning I may have been thin, but oftentimes people get super thin and they don't look well.
Uh-huh.
The one thing you could not say is that I didn't look well. That was certainly
you couldn't say you wasn't fine.
Ellie, Tom, I'm talking to you right now. What I'm saying to you is that my complexion was clear. My eyes were clear. My cheeks were rosy. I mean, there was no question that I was healthy. I was just mm-hmm. thinner than people were accustomed to seeing me be.
Right. Mm-hmm. They're not used to seeing that image.
Exactly. So, well, let's put it this way. They weren't used to seeing it, but they knew that they were seeing something when they see it. As my nephew said, Aunt, I don't understand. You just look so alive. Mm-hmm. I thought, uh-huh. what a comment, right? Mm-hmm.
And so, dealing with veganism, that went with me too, because I became a vegan first and got thinner. People in the church said, oh, we'll pray for you. They weren't used to seeing that new image.
But then, let's face it, over the 20 years, people have gone from, oh my goodness, why wouldn't you eat meat? Why? Because meat on the plate was seen as a sign of prosperity.
Absolutely.
In a family. Mm-hmm. So now you're saying, oh, don't eat meat. It's not necessarily healthy for you. Number one, it's the way often meat or animals are raised and slaughtered here in the States especially. But then there's the whole digestive process and mm-hmm. what that brings online. Well, fast forward 20 years. Saturday, my grandmother's making a stew. She says, where's that spice you use? Like, what are you talking about? You know, the one with the red top. I said, oh, the spike? She said, yeah. Where is it? Mm-hmm. I said, I don't use it anymore. It has soy in it. Mm-hmm. She's like, what? She says, you mean it's not here? I said, no. I threw it away. I threw it away. Use the Herbamare. I don't know the Herbamare. I'm not using it. So I'm saying, wait a minute.
You're influencing the people around
you. But here's
you.
The thing. I didn't even know she was using the spike. Mm-hmm. It's some undercover move.
Mm.
So then when I throw it out, it's like, well, what happened to
you
it?
Oh, my goodness.
But they mm-hmm. tease me all the time. You don't eat anything, blah, mm-hmm. blah, blah. So now, but you, Ellie Tom, you're in a food-free zone. Is that?
Right.
I mean,
now,
is that?
Keep in mind, knowledge comes in a wave. Keep in mind that vegetarianism and veganism is new to this country.
Okay.
Compared to others. Mm-hmm. Now you got this other wave of live and raw foods, juicing coming in.
Yeah.
Now you got going on energy, breatharian, pranic, solarian, stuff like this. You know, there's different terms and names, but when it first hit people, oh, no, it's a big shocker. But just like the veganism, I was hit over my head, too, with that until recently I took my sister to the doctor's office, and right on the wall, they had living a meat-free diet.
Mm.
Now, I got beat up by everybody, even people who had medical degrees back then, but now it became victorious.
Mm.
And if the next one, this other wave coming, it will be victorious. Because over 7 years ago, I said that the next 10 years, this knowledge will be presented to everybody. to what you would know it exists.
Do you not eat at all?
What I do is I probably eat something once every 2 weeks and stuff like that, but I mainly drink. I don't eat.
And okay. Are you drinking protein shakes or?
Oh, no.
I mean, help me out.
This is a whole other key.
What are you drinking?
This is drink what makes your taste buds feel good.
I mean, so is that a ground
what
up?
What is that for you?
Is that a lamb chop?
All right, check this out. There's a thing called, like what I talked about juicing.
Mm-hmm.
There's a thing called liquidarian. Now, this is new also. A liquidarian is a person that would drink things for your taste buds only. It has got nothing to do with vitamins, protein shakes. See, all of that right there is a belief system.
Mm-hmm.
You will find yourself drinking things, like, say, we call it junk juice. Because there's times now I'll go shopping and say, man, I never tasted that before. That's something new that's out on the shelf. And you'll drink it and your body's still healthy.
Mm-hmm.
Because you broke that belief system, because those things that they put on the market, this will make you healthy, that will make you healthy, it is not really making you healthy.
Mm.
You got to break that belief system all the way. What is minerals? What is vitamins? But eating, no, not on that level. I drink things, and I usually drink more in the wintertime due to boredom. You can't get out much
mm-hmm.
compared to the summer. And even drinking things will be hard on your body also.
Well, I'm trying to paint a picture for myself. What are you drinking?
Oh, like say, for instance, if I feel like drinking Welch's grape juice.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I got a taste for grape juice. Or I see a new orange juice that came out mixed with a banana or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that sounds wild. Let me taste that.
Now, you drink daily?
No.
Okay.
Because that'll hurt the body and be too much on the body now, too. There was a time I did.
Okay.
But as you go throughout the years, you start evolving also
mm-hmm.
within a practice. Like, for instance, I told Nancy, first you go through your baby years. That's your years where you keep getting up and you falling down, blah, blah. And I'd be telling people, just take your time, love yourself. There's no set time on when you accomplish something.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty soon, when you do try to eat something, it's hard on your body, so you can't do it no more.
Mm-hmm.
So pretty soon you evolve into your teenage years. Your teenage years, you'll meet people, they could talk a lot about energy work, breath, therianism, but they're not there yet. You know how your teenager think it knows everything?
Mm-hmm.
And then you go into your adult years. Like right now, if I was to eat something real heavy, that'll really hurt, and I don't want to go through that feeling anymore, because you're after a feeling.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then in the beginning stages, this is why I teach the practices, bringing more energy into the body first, because people will jump into this without that much knowledge, and they lose a whole lot of weight. And you don't need to do that. The weight will stabilize itself when the program is in the body to where it stabilizes itself to its perfect weight. You'll be under your BMI, all of that.
What
your body fat mass index.
What's your energy level like? You able to go jogging?
Work? Oh, absolutely. Matter of fact, oh my gosh, there is a way you can eradicate sleep to a point, too. You can stay up a lot more. In the beginning years, I was doing 2 hours a day. Right now, I do 4 hours of sleep. Energy-wise, I do a lot of exercise, because the stronger the physical body, the higher the energy. See, even on lower level,
mm-hmm.
even on the level where you're eating and you start exercising, you're going to gain more energy.
Mm-hmm. And what
do you start breaking? Oh, go ahead.
What do you look like? What do you weigh? How large have you been? Have you been 300 pounds and you're now 120?
Oh, actually, when I first started, the reason it got me to start on diet changes in the first place, usually when the system is invisible until it fails. In other words, in my latter 20s, I started wasn't feeling good because I was 190 pounds and I'm 5'7", so that's over my BMI right there.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering why I feel like this. And back then, with that mindset, you think having meat is a sign of prosperity.
Mm-hmm.
The weight kept going up, and I'm like, oh, man, this isn't me. And, of course, you know, not to put down religion or nothing like this. I'm in the church at the time, but they, like, just pray for healing. You're believing that. So I had to find another way, and pretty soon I met a guy who said, Don't eat meat. Take meat out of your diet. Mm-hmm. And to me, right there, you're desperate to try anything. So I took meat out of the diet. I ran into a vegan community. The weight came down. I started to feel good. Started walking the track, then pretty soon start running it. So just on that level, there was great improvements on the health. Now, after that, what I teach about becoming a breatharian, I talk about taking a ladder step. Just don't jump from not eating a day and act like you're not going to eat tomorrow. Mm-hmm. After veganism, I went on to Live and Raw Foods. I started to learn about the enzymes, you know, going into the meditation, still working out, still jogging, bringing more energy into the body, because your thought process is an energy, but it's spinning a lot faster than the physical body. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you can get an idea, it sounds good, but it takes a minute for the frequency of the physical body to pick up that idea because it's going a lot slower. This is what they say, body-mind connection. Mm-hmm. Get a body time to make that transition. You won't lose much weight, because right now I'm like 125, 5'7". The start of the BMI is, what, 120? So right there, I'm right there on the mark.
Yeah.
Feeling good, feeling healthy. Mm. Now, as your body, as I went into Live and Raw Foods, I started juicing more. Now, this is why I've seen the effects of food on the mind also. One time I was juicing all of these oranges and grapefruits. It was organic. Then one day I decided to get a juice out of this vending machine that said 100% orange juice. Mm-hmm. As soon as I drank that juice, I felt myself get tired, the energy drop, negativity, putting things off. And right there I observed to see the effects on food on the physical mind, on how you think.
Interesting. Okay.
And it's harder for a person to see it when you're in a dense diet like that. Usually you got to make diet changes, you'll see the difference. And it changes your whole being.
You're listening to Frank Relationships, and we're talking with breatharian Elatom Elamine. Elatom, what are you up to, and how can our listeners be in touch with you?
Oh, right now I am on Facebook under Elatom Elamine. Mm-hmm. And also my email will be on there also.
Spell your name for us.
Excuse me?
Spell your name for us so we can find you.
Oh, E-L-I-T-O-M and Elamine. E-L-A-M-I-N.
Okay.
What's the downside of breatharianism?
The downside will be, or it could be, if you don't hurry up and make changes in your lifestyle, that will benefit you for it. In other words, there is things like if you're a person that like to go to a lot of social gatherings and stuff like that, in the beginning stages I did, and you don't want to bring attention to yourself, so you probably get a soup, a light salad to try to stay out the way in the beginning stages. But now it got so strong that I don't really care about going to different social gatherings. We had a big family thing, and I sat there and just drank the water, took an orange juice while everybody else was eating. Like I said, they'll leave you alone now compared to back in the early years. So the downside could be on, say, for instance, there's certain places you won't think about going to anymore like you did in the years when you were consuming anything. There's no need to.
Okay.
That'll be the only downside. But health-wise and having the energy to accomplish different assignments and stuff like that, it is awesome. Mm-hmm. You can really accomplish a lot, especially, like I said, you sleep less. You got to figure out what to do at that time. I'm writing books, doing all types of painting, doing all types of projects, putting on a retreat. You're doing things that you're living a highlighted life.
Mm-hmm. And are you able to save a significant amount of money because you don't have to eat, or is there some expensive side effect?
Oh, my gosh. You'll save a lot of money because you don't need to eat. And then, of course, it's my own personal thing. I'm not in a relationship, so that's a lot of money right there.
But I'm sure not eating doesn't help you with being in a relationship. I can see a woman say, well, where are we going to dinner, honey? And you're not going to dinner.
Well, I do got to turn that around too. Okay, I'm probably not in a relationship like that, but I do meet some fascinating women all over the planet.
I bet.
You know who's on the path also?
Okay.
So that is great. That's the type of people you'll meet. You'll thought you'll never meet them.
Wow.
And likewise. So on that level, you too much don't want to be in a relationship because you're meeting so many people.
Mm-hmm. We keep your options open.
Right.
Amazing. Amazing.
And you teach this?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Step by step.
Let's hear about these steps.
All right. I got a retreat coming up, and the whole idea is for the retreat that there's two things I wanted to do. I think about people's time being valuable. So in Europe, they got the 21-day retreats. So even when I started, I didn't have enough finances or the time to go to a 21-day retreat. So what I did was I cut down a weekend to give a person as much information as possible. And the information is in, I'll show them sun gazing. I'll take them through breath work, going from the head down to the toe and breathing with the whole body. Take them into the different meditations of Qigong, where you could actually feel the electrons, because you're constantly under a shower of energy right now. But to put yourself in a position where you can feel this energy coming through the body, it's been doing it. You need to be sensitive to it. So I take a person through that for a whole weekend, constantly working them. But the main thing is I give them the teachings. I was talking to a lady in France this morning, matter of fact, and she did say I'm the only one talking on this level to break it down step by step and even scientifically. Because it's just like when we was coming up in school. Through repetition, 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 that's how the information got in you. So likewise with this is an education. It's not a belief system. So when you got somebody constantly teaching you this, teaching you this, teaching you this, that's how to make you have a transition even more, because get as much as information as you can through reading and also getting a teacher to constantly talk to so you can get this new download in you. So when I teach this, not only I take them through the physical side of the meditations and how to work with energy work, I also take them through the verbal, to constantly get this new instructions in you.
Any good books you can recommend?
Well, my two books. And also Living on Light by Jasmuheen.
Spell and that, also, please. Spell Jasmuheen.
Oh, you say spell it?
Spell it, yes.
Yes. Okay, that'll be Jasmuheen.
Okay.
And that's a real good one right there that I started out on. And usually the rest of the information be on kind of like side books where, like, what's that of the yogi?
Autobiography of a yogi?
Right, so there'll be bits and pieces and articles and books like that.
Okay.
Dealing with it. So okay. Right now we do got a new wave of books coming out, because in 2015 when we was in San Francisco, me and a group of Breath Therians was together. We said they got hundreds if not thousands of books dealing with veganism now, vegetarianism. Now it's our time to bring out a whole lot of books dealing with Breath Therian. Mm-hmm. So that's going to be the new wave coming out.
Wow. Okay.
And you actually opened the door for what I wanted to ask, basically next or last. What's next?
When you don't eat.
Now, this is what's next. Every year you live, you get like 36 x-rays, if not more, in the body, because you are living in a realm of radiation. So we're constantly being radiated. Mm-hmm. And as you grow, and especially deal with energy work, as you age, more and more radiation is going to be into the body. Now, by understanding these practices and understanding you can let go of food as you start aging, the next thing is how far the cells could go to grab more life force energy, and they're going into now transmuting the body. Instead of dying, going to the grave, can you take the body up into another realm of reality?
Oh, man.
All right,
translation well, for real.
Yeah, okay. Let us know how it goes. We'll have you on that show.
Richard Pryor.
You're listening to Frank Relationships, and we've been talking with holistic practitioner, researcher, lecturer, and the author of the book, It's Okay to Be Healthy. and the forthcoming Human Photosynthesis 101, Elitam Elamine. He studied light synthesis and atmospheric changes in nature that sustained the human body for health and well-being for over a decade. He's also a breatharian. Along today's journey, we've discussed sleeping less, eating less, and paying less for food.
Indeed.
Thank you to my co-host, Nancy. Thanks to Jeff Newman, my engineer, and thank you to my guest, Elitam Elamine. You've been great. I hope you've had as much fun as I've had hanging out with today's ensemble. As always, it's my wish for you to walk away from this conversation with a heaping helping of useful information that'll help you create a relationship that's as loving and accepting as possible. Let us know what you thought of today's show at Facebook.com/RelationshipFLove, on Twitter at Mr. That's M.R. Frank Love, or at franklove.com. If you're listening via Blog Talk Radio, make sure you like us there, and if via iTunes, make sure you subscribe so that you can receive each week's show. This is Frank Love.